Hey guys, Jimmy Pardo here to talk to you about PXG. Now listen, I wore this shirt at a golf outing recently, and the way I described it is that I felt like I wasn't wearing a shirt. That's how comfortable this thing was. PXG makes great golf clubs. We all know that, but what they also do is make great apparel. It's made with premium materials, technology designed for peak performance. Didn't help my performance, but I looked good. That's the important thing. You want to look good better than the way you golf. Is that a thing? PXG has something for everybody. Pants, polos, sweaters, hats, quarter zips, joggers, jackets, dresses, skirts, everything you could want. I loved it. I've got a second shirt that I can't wait to wear when I go golfing a second time, if my body allows me to. But you know, I tell you what, with these shirts, I might as well just walk around the clubhouse and let people take a look at me and go, look at that stylish looking guy, but his golf game is on point. Little do they know, no, it's not. Hey, elevate your style game on and off the course with PXG Spring Summer 2024 Collection. Head over to pxg.com/Pardo. Use code Pardo at checkout and save 10% on all apparel. That is pxg.com/Pardo. Code Pardo to save 10% on apparel. pxg.com/Pardo. Code Pardo. PXG. Grip it and wear it.
Did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I love Babbel. I feel like I'm a guy. I like playing games. I'm a game guy. So I like that you can play little language games, and it makes learning fun, and that's what I need because I'm a monkey. So studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/pardo. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/pardo, babbel.com/PARDO. Rules and restrictions apply. You guys know I love Gooder sunglasses. I've been wearing them for years. I've been collecting them basically at this point because, you know, they got all these different styles and they're so affordable. They're $25 a pair. There's no slip, no bounce. They're all polarized. They're fun. You have one pair for the beach. You have one pair for riding your bike. You have one pair to maybe go out to a club. I don't know, a day club. Do you go to day clubs? That doesn't sound like a right thing to do. Hey, they got a new frame though. This is what I'm here to talk about. The Pop G. Pop art for your face. It's fashion. It's fashion on your face, guys. No slip, no bounce, just like all the other types of pairs. But these are cool. Like I want to get a pair myself. Like I have too many already, but I feel like I need to get these also. Vanguard Visionary, New Wave Renegade, Born to be Envied, Pop Art Prodigy, the Mod One Out. It sounds like the Pop G is a whole group of styles, so you can get all these different frames within the Pop G family, so that's pretty cool. Check those out, guys. And, you know, if you need sunglasses, this is the way to go. You don't have to worry about losing them. They're $25, and, you just grab another pair if you need them, but like I said, I've been collecting them because I can't get enough of these Gooder sunglasses. If you want to support our show and try a pair, Gooder is giving Never Not Funny listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/Pardo and use the code Pardo for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/Pardo and use the code Pardo for free shipping.
Please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, because it's been one of those days.
Who is Jimmy Pardo? Guess again. Here he is. And I do the horns.
You're the one yelling, Jimmy.
Yeehaw! Let's have some maple syrup.
Yep, 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 yep.
Oh, man.
See? I know what I'm doing and I know how to catch it. Mad at the world.
Live on tape. It's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. DDS, welcome to the program, episode 2811 is what I want to say.
Yeah.
And we welcome you in. I assume everybody is waking up from the coma-inducing Oscars that were on Sunday night.
Good Lord, what a snooze fest those were. Maybe some people have differing opinions here in the program. But
Jimmy, in a year where nobody saw any of the movies, for God's sake, don't show any clips
don't
of the
show
movies.
A clip.
Please,
thank you.
For the love of God, do not show any of the movies you're talking
but
about.
But please tell me about how the costumer once cut out a Sears catalog ad to come up with a costume 45 years later. Please do that.
And
they finally mastered it. They finally got it right. They finally said, you know what? Let's leave in all the long-winded speeches.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of anything fun. Nobody wants that during a pandemic. You know what? Of all fucking years, how about a monologue at the top with some comedy in it? Jesus.
Yeah, that's why that Lil Rel thing, which maybe is like a middling premise, at least it brought a little bit of something to the
something happened.
Thing. It was like,
something
finally,
happened.
Something is happening that's not just a speech, but and I haven't read anything about this, but my suspicion is there was like a producerial decision to make the speeches longer. They were like, hey, the speeches, those people don't get enough time to say their thing, let's give them twice as much time, because every single one, not every single one, but because some people just say their thing and leave, but people were going on and on way past the point where in a normal award show they would have gotten the red light and they would have said something about the red light. But there's like a dude standing in front of the Eiffel Tower for 5 minutes just rambling on,
and like, to not only just rambling on, stops. So then, continues
like,
going.
And that's
no,
a wrap
done,
up,
dude.
Yeah, and like, God bless the woman from Minari. She's funny and great, and I didn't have a problem with her speech. But we all know from doing our show in front of audiences, she had 3 or 4 perfect joke outs that she could have walked away on, and then just kept going. I'm like, God damn it, just leave on the laugh. You had the laugh, leave.
Yeah, but I welcomed her speech in a.
Yeah.
In a sea of Hollywood taking itself way too seriously.
Yeah, I liked her a lot.
And boy, oh boy, was it ever. Just the, you know, sometimes, I mean, the corny shtick that people will do occasionally when they come out, you know, when they talk to each other, that stuff. At least, you know, I never thought I miss that even. Like, as awful as that is, I miss that.
It's familiarity. Okay. Like, you tune in for these things not because you actually care. It's because it's a warm blanket in a time where you're just looking for a distraction. You need the familiarity of that weird broken down structure that isn't very viable in 2021, but it's still reminiscent of what you grew up on, basically. I feel like that's what was missing.
It is that. You know, now, Garrett, go ahead, Elliot. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what I bet happened was this, that they, you know, everything in the Academy is like, look, we've got to be more diverse. We've got to give people more of a chance. We bring in new blood into the voting and all this sort of stuff. So when these new folks come up, we don't want there to be a moment where the music plays off one of our new diverse people and then they don't get to finish their thought.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you do that, you got to do that for everybody because mm-hmm. you're going to get the heat if somebody else who already has influence gets cut off. Well, why did the other person, even though they're not realizing the diversity because they're old or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, Elliot. Is there a way for you to repeat all of that farther from your microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you know what? I think I turned my mic down because your mic is low and we can't do anything about it. And so I turned my mic down.
I see. All right. Very good.
But I'll turn it up a smidge. There we are.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
All right, now lean back.
Garen, you're suspiciously quiet.
I watched. There were some genuinely head-scratching, shocking moments that I don't think the Oscars are going to recover from anytime soon, especially that ending. I agree with you.
They put a lot of weight in Chadwick Boseman winning. They put a lot
they
of
they sure did.
Like, hey,
a lot of weight in that, man.
Let's not end with the best picture. Let's end with best actor, because won't that be a special moment when the guy who wins literally isn't there and you just see a picture of him and then we wrap it up.
Oh,
fucking horrible.
Yeah,
it was literally that. Anthony Hopkins, see ya.
This is embarrassing.
What?
If Hollywood can't engineer a Hollywood ending, then what the fuck are we doing, Nicholas?
What have you been doing?
And look, I don't disagree that the idea of nobody gave a shit what the best picture was this year. Nobody cared.
Right. That's fair.
Literally, they all were a shrug. Any of them could have won. Any of them could not have won. Who cares? Mm-hmm. And so I understand, you know what? Let's move it from that. Maybe the best actor wins a little more exciting. But this isn't the SAG Awards.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. This is
right.
Yes, you honor the actor and actress, but at the end of the day, it's about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's movies. So you end with movie.
Yes.
Even if it is going to be Oh, Nomadland. Okay, great. Bye, everybody. Right. But at least you have a stage full of people.
Yes.
And there's some people, you know, the sourpuss that is Frances McDormand up there. And you get that. At least you have that. But, mm-hmm. you know, even if Chadwick Boseman had one, then you want to end on a tear-filled speech that would have just been heart-wrenching? That's what you want to end on?
Yeah, it was a half-baked premise, even if you accept that they thought they knew what they were getting when they made right. that choice. But it very much felt like we're shaking it up. I mean, it's a good year to shake it up because they had to do it a different way. They're in a different location. Things mm-hmm. are weird in general, so I get the instinct to be like, let's be different. And I guess like I haven't been paying any attention to it. Normally, I think I would be more aware of the backstory of everything. But I gathered that Steven Soderbergh produced it, which is he's a filmmaker. He's a director.
And they wanted this to feel like a movie, Matt. They wanted the night to feel like a movie.
And I get it. I mean, there were. The cameras were set to 24 frames. That they nailed it on that front. Good job. That is the flickering that my brain recognizes as film. But it was still awkward. I mean, it's like if you're trying to like engineer the awkwardness out of it, they failed.
Well, I mean, when they had the presenters introducing the actors and then like giving some weird commentary like to Carey Mulligan, they're like, yeah. Congratulations on me having such a brave, important performer, or whatever the hell she said.
Yeah.
I literally was cringe. I was like, What is happening?
It's also because like, why is so Laura Dern's now standing over here and everyone's like this, like while they're receiving their awkward like compliments from her, they're just like,
that's how they do it in the movies. This was like a movie, Matt.
You know, there's
people
a reason
stand behind you in the movie.
That's why I yelled to the TV. I said, there's a reason why people stand on stages. It's because so everyone can be facing the same direction to listen to them.
Let me tell you something. As a guy that did warm up for The Tonight Show and then Conan O'Brien, when I first started doing warm up for The Tonight Show, and I've talked about this at length before, but it plays into what you just said. I was doing the traditional warm up. You're in the audience. You walk through the audience, blah, blah, blah. But the room for The Tonight Show was so huge. If I was on the left side of the audience, the right side had no idea where I was and they couldn't see me. Mm-hmm. So then I made a decision. I'll stand on the spot where Conan stands and does his monologue. And all of a sudden, my warm up became great. Like how about that? When everybody's facing the same direction on a raised area or a lower area and they're raised, then people can see you. You dumbass Soderbergh.
And also it's one thing for the room to be uncomfortable physically and emotionally with it, but it's also about how does it play on television. And when you have a camera shot of someone's body completely twisted and contorted in a 180 degree position so that they can nod and awkwardly smile at someone telling them how great they are, it doesn't make good television. It just makes you uncomfortable looking at them being uncomfortable.
Well, I had my best ballot ever, so that's all I care about.
How many did you get right? Oh, here's, you want to know what happened? I'm going to blow up Elisa's spot right now. Normally she's in an Oscar pool at her office, and so she researches, which I fully support. I would do the same thing. I'm competitive. I want to win. So if she's researching and then we're doing a ballot in the house, I'll look at a couple of things just to get a sense of what's going on. This is a year I looked at nothing. I knew nothing. I barely saw any of these movies. And she's not in an Oscar pool, so I just assume we're all just going to have fun guessing completely blind. She read one New York Times article and got the first 16 things correct. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
this is fucking bullshit. Why? I'm competing against the New York Times. I'm not even competing against you.
You're not. You know, listen, Matt, I saw your wife's post on Facebook that she did the read. I'm like, to beat Matt?
And your children.
This is when you're at home. You're not supposed to do any research. You're just supposed to go, you know what? This is fun at home during a pandemic. Yeah. We circle it. Nobody's winning money.
Right. She did make me laugh, though. Like, she finally got one wrong and she goes, there you go, the failing New York Times. But like, it was crazy how long she went before there was even one incorrect thing. And then I think she ended up maybe deviating on a couple of the major categories. But they were wrong about Best Actress. I think they picked Viola Davis and Frances McDormand won, which I picked Frances McDormand. having been one of the only things I saw all year. I was like, well, I bet that's going to win. And sure enough, after all of the attempts at inclusivity and everything, it's like you got Anthony Hopkins and Frances McDormand. Take off the table how what people's performances were, because I still contend that really doesn't mean anything to the voters. Like, it's all subjective anyway, and a lot of people voting don't know, they don't see things. They just go, yeah, that old guy's really good. Let's give him one. And it's just terrible. The optics are terrible. Like, again, I've heard nothing but, oh, he was great in The Father, but it's just optically awful when a guy who died in his prime and was one of the greatest actors of his generation can't win for that performance, which was universally praised. And mm-hmm. the whole show was structured to celebrate him at the culmination of the entire broadcast. That looks fucking terrible.
Yeah. But you know what? But that said, I don't know who you're voting for. You don't know who I'm voting for. You know,
right. It's
voting.
Not one. It's not like everyone's in a room together going, hey,
like,
let's
right.
do
it's
this.
Not like in a room where you go, yeah, you know what? Hopkins is the way to go. And then, but so it's not like somebody went, no, let's not do that because of this. And then,
but doesn't it? It smacks of people over the age of 70 being like, "That's what's good because I relate to an old man struggling with dementia."
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it, but he's always good in everything.
I know. Yeah, I agree. Did Harrison Ford do a better job portraying a man with dementia just trying to deliver a speech? Yes.
Great job.
He kind of showed up Anthony Hopkins without realizing.
You leave it. Indiana Jones alone.
How is that guy supposed to play Indiana Jones? He's fucking 30 years past his ability to do that.
Oh, no. Boy.
It's ridiculous.
I hope he's just a professor. Through the entire movie, it's just all about his final year as a professor. It's like he retires in the end.
A very quiet drama about
the winding down of an action star.
Yeah, Henry Jones Jr., professor at large.
And haven't they done that bit before, where they read the notes from something and then
I feel like
reveal
yeah.
that it was from a successful movie?
And I love Blade Runner, but that was not the mic drop who they thought it was, because no. Blade Runner is kind of a mess of a movie. Right? And like, yes, the studio fucked it up and then the director's cut is better, but it's still like, nah, I mean, we're not talking about Casablanca here, guys. It's a fucking weird movie.
Right. Anyway. Agreed. Well, it was a good time. My son and wife, they tied on their ballot. I got just destroyed. I did not. I did zero. Other than that article I read with the anonymous right. actor director giving their views. That was the only thing. I'm not going to do research to beat my son.
I got with zero research and zero knowledge. I got 11 right.
That's what I got. I got 11.
There you go. That's what you get when you don't know anything.
And they got. Did I get 11? Yeah, maybe I think that's what I got. And they got 16 or something like that. They did much better than me.
To me, the most...
You guys...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say that the most exciting moment for me was I did not know he was nominated. And so when former Earwolf host and acquaintance of ours, Trayvon Free, won an Oscar, I was like, holy shit, that's Trayvon Free. I know that guy.
Crazy, right?
That was incredible. That was awesome. And I'm... congratulations to him. I want to see that movie now. I want to know what's up with
Collective.
It.
Was that his or the
I can't remember the name of it.
Something similar to that. I want to say, go ahead, yeah. Garen, you were going to say something.
I was going to ask if you guys had like a favorite standout moment, and it sounds like Matt just had his.
I mean,
mine actually was when that the woman from Minari was going off stage and Brad Pitt was desperately trying to maintain social distance.
Right. Yeah.
He just gave up and walked her out.
Still trying to walk her to the place you need to go.
It was cute and charming.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
She's fantastic in that movie though. Let's,
did you finally see it?
I can't wait.
Yeah. We saw it yesterday, right before the odd, we watched it yesterday afternoon. And,
she's great.
When it was over, just like, you know, she just was phenomenal.
Everybody in that movie's great. It's such good performances and a really good movie. Just kind of sad. It's a sad movie and it's hard to watch in some ways.
Agreed.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
Was this entire awards ceremony worth shutting down the main artery of Los Angeles public transport?
Of course not, Elliot.
For what I understand was several weeks, not just a couple days, as you might expect.
Is that right? They shut down...
For at least a week, maybe two or three. Well, I have to look at
the
post
to build.
That I saw.
I mean, that area doesn't normally have tiered whatever those tables
I believe that's
on.
The room that Scott Aukerman got married in. I believe that is the... Mm. that room. And there is some sort of tearing, but not like we saw.
Yeah, it seemed like they built a lot. They built a stage and they built some platforms. And
what's the backstory on doing it at Union Station? Just
because
ceiling was high and the ventilation would be good?
What I assumed, is that it's sort of like the next best thing to outside.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to say, was it Doug Benson? Or no, maybe it was Paul F. Tompkins, who was like, it's a shame we don't have some place that's shaped kind of like a bowl in Hollywood where you could have this.
Good point. I don't know why it wasn't outside. I mean, I guess because they can't count on it not raining, but...
That would have been cold, right? A little chilly. It ended up getting a little chilly last night around that time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So I don't know I've been in Union Station maybe twice in 20 something years. Did they shut down the entire Union Station? So there was no connection. Like if that was your hub, your SOL for a week.
I don't think that's what it was. I think what it was is that the main way to get to the hub was closed off. So you had to go all the way around to Cesar Chavez. Like if you were taking public transportation because you didn't want to walk, you were SOL because you were definitely going to be walking.
Yeah.
I see.
Like way, way like, further than...
So you
than,
could still get to trains, and trains were not shut down, but like the pathway to go from one thing to another was you were diverted, basically.
Diverted and far.
Okay.
And yeah. I guess that's the point. To what end?
It looked cool. I mean,
it did look cool, but you can't. You could build that on that giant stage next to Conan on Warner Brothers.
Yep.
You know, you're going to build a stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where the one that huge one on Warner Brothers a lot, where you know where they've got the swimming pool under where they did bits of not Titanic. What the hell was in the movie? Dunkirk.
I mean, they could have gone back to that room they used to do at that hotel. I guess it's indoors. They probably didn't want to do that, but.
Well, that's where they do the, isn't that the same place they do the Golden Globes now? The Beverly Hilton?
No. The where we did our show, they used to do the Oscars in that room.
Oh, right.
During Podfest.
Right. What was
years
that
ago?
What was that place called?
Oh, is that right? Where we did our show that time at the Roosevelt?
I think that was the original home of the Oscars. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And then we shut it down, right? We bookended it by talking about jizz for 30 minutes. The Barrymores must be very proud that they got to share a room with Never Not Funny.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. That was a big room. Let's admit that was too big of a room for any podcast to be in, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The history of it.
Certainly for our podcast.
and then to be told we were the most successful show of the festival.
Yeah, we had a good turnout, but it was wide. That was the
weird. It was very wide.
It's a ballroom. Not
of course,
showroom.
We did the ballroom blitz when it was time to go because we didn't want to say hello to any of the fans, so we just did the blitz. We got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
The ballroom blitz.
Ballroom blitz.
It's the ballroom blitz.
Ballroom blitz.
Ready, Steve? Mm-hmm. Andy? Uh-huh. All right, fellas, let's go.
I don't know what you're talking about. The only version of that song I recognize is the Tia Carrera version from Wayne's World.
I don't know that version. I know the original, and I know the one by Crocus.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that. I'm sure I've heard the Tia Carrera. But
well, you saw Wayne's World, right?
I did see the first Wayne's World, yes.
I don't know if it was the first or the second, now that you mention it. But
I love that song.
Yeah.
Her version of it, too. I would listen to that, like, daily. I liked it so much.
I was once on her porch. I was once on Tia Carrera's porch.
And you couldn't get past the front door, huh?
I was with somebody dropping something off.
Mm-hmm.
And knocked on the door, no answer, left thing on the porch. So I was once, that's the story. I was once on Tia Carrera. That's it. That's the end of story. Nothing exciting happened.
Yeah.
Nothing. There was a swing. The package was placed on the swing on the porch.
Well, I've stood on Ozzy Osbourne's driveway, so I guess we're tied then.
It's very similar. It's very, very similar. Did you really go visit the Osbourne house?
I think at some point someone was visiting from out of town, and we like drove around and we found the this was when the whatever that show was called was on. What was that show called?
The Osbournes?
The Osbournes?
It's called The Osbournes, yeah.
Ozzing the Osbournes.
They could have come up with a better name than that, don't you think? Just the
Observing
Osbournes.
The Osbournes.
and maybe call it Ozzy and Harriet, and then just rename Sharon Harriet.
Yeah. She seems like a great person, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. Anyway, yeah, we went by that house and I was like, there it is. And there's a big gate and you can stand in front of the gate and go, here I am.
Here I am. We did that. My brother is a huge Ozzy fan. So when I was driving them to the airport the day or two after Danielle and I got married, I was driving them to the airport, my mom and my brother, and my brother's like, hey, can we go by Ozzy's house? And I'm like, yeah, sure, of course, whatever. And then there it is. And then you just keep moving. Like, it's not he's not going to be out there waving. No. You know, it's like you're looking at a big, crazy, gothic-like gate. That's it.
Right. Which makes it even more amazing when you when you hear the story of how Richard Simmons literally used to stand and wave to the tour buses in yes. front of his house, like when he was still like in the public eye, or you know, living.
I have
public
to
life.
Imagine that those tours back in the 60s, 70s,
yeah.
when it wasn't what it is today, where you do see Lee Majors out on his front lawn getting something, you know, getting a yeah. paper,
right.
or you see, you know, Tom Selleck. You know, walking from the door to his car. But you don't anymore because everything is so, the bushes are so yeah. high, none of it.
Yeah.
So, want to go on a celebrity house tour? Okay. But you can go, there it is.
Yeah.
You go, I guess that's it. You wouldn't know.
You're going on a celebrity gate tour is what you're going on.
Right?
That's a nice gate. Oh, there's a good one. Oh, look at how tall that one is.
And then what if there's a thing then people talk about it to go, I've never seen Tatum O'Neal's gate. That's a great gate. Have you seen her gate?
You have to see
that's
her
gate.
That's
a great gate.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Amazing gate.
Oh, I saw Kate Jackson's gate. Oh, that's a gate.
If you want to see wrought iron just twisted into just beautiful shapes, then you got to see this gate.
I was surprised that Johnny Carson had a wooden gate.
It's very understated for the King of Late Night.
It's unbelievable. Streisand, of course, has the brass. I mean, these are nice-looking gates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This could be a real conversation somewhere, by the way. There could be four nerds really talking about Definitely. This on the Gatecast.
It's probably likely. I've been watching some YouTube videos where there are people who are obsessed with certain kinds of furniture, like some kind of child furniture that you can also have sex on or something. I don't remember what it's called, like a nugget. I think it's called a nugget. Ugh. Yep.
I hate everything about that.
Right I don't want to Google that.
Yes, you do. And then people are obsessed with. Have you ever seen those? They're professionally made, but they look like they're not. That have like scraggly letters on them. It like says like it just says like coffee, and it's like a yes. porcelain thing, but yeah. it's kind of like rough hewn.
Yeah.
Apparently, there are people who are obsessed with those, and they collect every single one. And when they come out at Home Goods. There are people waiting sometimes in some places in the morning because they know a certain one's going to come out, and they just grab all of them up.
Jesus Christ. I mean, there's some sad sack things. Even in this Zoom, there's probably people who have collected some bullshit that you didn't need to collect. I could speak for myself.
When you say sad sack in this Zoom, you mean the four of us?
I'm saying at least two of the people in this Zoom right now have bought worthless plastic and kept it in a box.
Minimum.
Why is
minimum
my box highlighted?
Ooh, itchy nose. All right, let's take a break. Mary Holland is going to be joining us. Mary's in the new movie. You recognize Mary from everything, but she's in the new movie called Golden Arm. Comes out this Friday. I do want to point out that we had a great live stream yesterday. We had a wonderful live stream yesterday with our Tier 2 and 3 folks. So again, it's another time to remember that we do those on a monthly basis. And then in addition to the monthly shows, once a quarter we play bingo and have a good time there as well. So if you are not part of the platinum level, now's a good time to jump in. Good a time as any. Could jump in anytime you want to.
Yeah. Tier 2 and 3 get the monthly live stream. Tier 3 only get the quarterly bingo night. And speaking of tiers, we were all in tears. I think, I guess you and I, at least, Jimmy, were in tears laughing. It was one of those never not funny moments where Jimmy was falling out of his chair laughing and I had tears in my eyes because you just insulted a man to his face.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous.
I don't think I knew I was insulting him, quite frankly, when I said it the first time. I don't think that's what I was doing. And Joseph. Then it didn't stop me from calling it back three times.
No, it did not.
That's
he knows the show.
You know what I mean, that to me, that is the top level of that's what I live for is those moments on this show where we're both just like crying, laughing, and it's usually at someone else's expense.
Of course. But Danielle actually said, what were you laughing at so hard that you were pounding on your desk? they were like, we heard you pounding. We knew something had to happen.
Yeah.
So join in on that if you guys want to, if you are, but again, we welcome everybody to listen to it on the, either on the free feed or even at that $5 level. We certainly appreciate it. We appreciate anybody, who listens to this program and supports it, but do know that there's a lot more fun to be had, by joining, with the cool kids.
Oh, and if you miss out, like if you are a subscriber already and you just couldn't make it yesterday, we do always put those out after about a week later. We put
the, okay. So that guy gets to relive that moment.
Yes. I'm just saying everybody can enjoy what we're talking about, if they subscribe to tier two or three.
All right. Terrific. Again, Mary Holland's about to join us. We'll be back right after this.
Listen, this is you know this. Belknap and Hochberg and myself, we love the Factor meals. In fact, Garen Cockrell's gotten on board with the Factor recently.
Yeah, he's into it. I mean, who wouldn't like it? Once you try it, you go, hey, this is good stuff.
Once you Factor, you can't go back there.
Yeah. It's like that old Yo Gabba Gabba song. Try it. You'll like it.
I never was on board with Yo Gabba Gabba. And nothing has changed as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
In the 16 years since I've watched it, I've not gotten on board.
I imagine it doesn't age well. It was very of the moment and very
I think it was hipster. Very of the pre-meme. Like, I think it was hipster even prior to me.
What?
Like, before I had a kid. It was prior to Oliver's where...
I don't know if it's even still around.
I hope not.
We don't have time to talk about what's going on with
you. We're here to talk about Factor.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? Pop a Factor into the microwave. 2 minutes later, this baby's ready. You sit down. Watch some Yo Gabba Gabba. Sure. Enjoy your Factor.
Yeah.
Right? Get in there. Get the Wiggles out. That's somebody else, right? No, that's them.
Get your sillies out.
Get your sillies out. Yeah. Wiggles are another kid's thing.
Yeah.
And those guys, I got no truck with those guys.
Good.
They've got over 35 different meals, more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. Various different, look, if you want chicken, they got chicken. You want a beef thing, they got beef thing. You want to bump up to a gourmet meal, they got filet mignon. Mm. They've got, they had lobster the other day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they got all sorts of things over there. They got delicious things over there. Head to factormeals.com/Pardo50. Use code Pardo50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. That is code Pardo50 at factormeals.com/Pardo50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor.
Good food. Fast.
Hey, hiring's hard.
So hard.
So ZipRecruiter's there to make it easy.
So easy.
Atta boy, Matt. You did exactly what I was hoping for. We don't plan these folks. We don't script these out. We sit down. We go, hey, let's do a ZipRecruiter ad. And then I just say something and then Matt responds. And it's very, very, never enough funny.
Very
brand.
Organic.
Very organic. We both turn into James Austin Johnson doing Trump. Very organic. They're talking about organic. Hey, see why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's 24 hours. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. Go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Pardo. Once again, that is ZipRecruiter.com/Pardo. Look, we haven't had to hire anybody in a long time, but I know there's people out there that have a small business and that's they
right. do. Yes. And look, I don't want to do that job. If you wanted to work, you would go work as a headhunter if you cared, if you enjoyed hiring people for, if that was your passion.
It's not mine.
It's not mine either. So
my passion's the opera.
Obviously, we all know that.
Okay, just want to make sure.
From longtime listeners know that you love the opera.
I want to make sure that everybody's reminded of it.
So just leave it to the professionals at ZipRecruiter. Let them do it. Let their technology help you so that you don't have to waste your time finding great candidates.
That's exactly right. By the way, we have tickets for the opera coming up. I'm going to hire somebody to go in my place. that is my passion. My passion for the opera is to avoid it.
Yeah.
ZipRecruiter.com/Pardo. 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 ZipRecruiter.
The smartest way to hire.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 2811. We are joined by a young lady who's in the upcoming movie, Golden Arm. It comes out this Friday. Her name is Mary Holland. But of course, if you haven't seen that movie, which you haven't because it hasn't come out yet, you've recognized her from every single situation comedy that's come out in the last 4 years. Right? Mary, is there one sitcom that said, you know what? No.
I would say most of them said that.
That's not true. Every time my son is at the age now where he's watching everything that we watch, the Veep and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
And he's loving all these things. And He's also obsessed with AT&T commercials, so he sees a lot.
That's a really specific thing to be obsessed with.
He loves
AT&T
them.
Commercials.
He loves your story arc on those. He just says,
"Really?
Yeah." Oh, he is.
So nice.
He understands it. You know, I will say this: it is the AT&T, right? Where you, it's you and the African American gentleman walking, and then you see the perfect people. Isn't that that?
Yes. Yep.
And yep. You deliver a line that I'm not kidding, Mary. I think it may be the best delivered line in Hollywood history. That's how much I love it. You have just a wonderful throwaway.
It's being recorded, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's going to be isolated and flown overhead football games.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Jimmy,
I think it's so great. I think your delivery on that line is so great. That's
thank
it.
Thank you.
Jimmy, I don't know if you noticed this because I'm sure you didn't look at the IMDb page like I am. Were you aware that our guest is also part of something that your son was a part of?
Wait a minute. I don't know if I am aware of that. What are we talking about? My son has done a total of one thing in show business.
Yes. Yep.
And that's not even in show business.
What was that one thing?
What was that one thing?
He was a contestant on the Jedi Challenge. Is that what it's called?
Yep. Jedi Temple Challenge.
God, Jimmy, I remember this. I remember when we were shooting that it was told to me that Jimmy Pardo's son is participating. Oh my gosh.
And he was your favorite contestant of all of them, right?
Yeah. I'm not supposed to select favorites because, you know, they're all great. He was my favorite.
I think so.
I was the voice of the droid of 83 who was Ahmed Best's the little wise cracking sidekick.
And you were there. I guess you'd have to be there on set, right? You couldn't do that after the fact. You'd have to react to what the kids are doing and stuff, right?
Yes, I was. It was a really interesting setup because Gordon Tarbley, who built 83, built the costume. He was actually in the droid outfit.
Oh, wow.
And then I was in the control room on a mic that had a speaker attached to his back. And so I would be like riffing with Ahmed, like watching him on the monitors and riffing with him. And then my voice would come out of Gordon's back. I'm sure it was very strange for all the children there.
I can tell you that he did not come home and say, yeah, the one droid had a back mouth. That was
Oh, good. Okay, great. Great. Yeah. So it just felt normal.
That's exciting. I'm going to tell young Oliver that you were on the show today. Cause I'm not kidding. He does think you were great on Veep and he thought you were great on Curb Your Enthusiasm along with Sam Richardson. And
that's so nice.
Yeah, he gets it. He gets it. And I say it all the time. Thank God he likes great comedy so I don't have to lie and pretend somebody that sucks. Oh, yeah, they're good too, son. I don't have to do any of that.
Well, I'm very flattered. Please tell him I say hello and thank you for the support.
I have a quick question about that 83. Any talk at all of just having you put the costume on instead of that incredibly complicated?
No, it was never discussed. It was never discussed. Weird. But Gordon is kind of he has built so many of these droid costumes. He played C-3. He has a C-3PO costume that he, you know, takes to Star Wars events. So he's like just very knowledgeable and building those things. And I think it was just easier to have him build it for himself than for me to come in for droid fittings, right. Which I can only imagine would be strange.
And uncomfortable, probably.
Probably uncomfortable. I don't know. Who's to say? Yeah. But there was never any talk of that. So.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Zoom was not my friend. I thought you were done, and I think I
stopped. I am done. I rambled.
All right. Mary Holland's been our guest. Thank you for coming, Mary. See you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. We do it. It's very quick here. Very quick on this program.
Okay.
Just wanted to know about the Star Wars thing. Now we're moving on.
That's it.
Gosh, okay. Well.
We talked about the thing that'll make my kid happy. That's all I care about.
So,
all right, we're done.
Bye. Well, we're done.
Now, Mary, here's what's interesting. You and I, you know, and we basically run in the same circles. We have the exact same friends. Mm-hmm. Yet I don't think you and I have had a conversation more than hello, hello. And that's about it. Right.
That's
we agree
right.
on that.
I agree on that.
Is that because you don't care for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got it out. Oh, my God. There's another human.
No, I don't know how. I don't know how that has happened, because, yes, we have circled each other. We've orbited each other.
Yes.
And I don't know how that's happened, but I feel like that's very true of comedy shows when we were doing them.
Yeah.
Those days.
Are you doing any Zoom shows? Are you a person that's trying to do improv via Zoom?
Yes. Yes, my team Wild Horses that I'm on with Stephanie Allen and Lauren Lapkus and right. Aaron Whitehead, we have done a few of these virtual shows, which are so fun. And it's been great to have that, have an ability to like to do some kind of show. But boy, is it weird.
Yeah. Is it?
You can't, there's no, the live comedy with the audience and you're all there and you're like sharing this experience together and you're feeding off them and they're feeding off you. It's just, you know, you're just met, you make a joke and then it's met with silence.
And it's just weird, right?
I mean, weird.
Look, we've been doing it now for over a year on this show that we're not, but right. We're used to doing a show in a studio where you don't get the immediate laughs. But when I'm doing my... You know, when I've the game show that I'm doing now called Pop Cultured.
Yeah.
You say something funny and it's just really nobody. Well, nobody heard you. So you can't be mad that nobody reacted.
Yes. Or the people who heard you are not mic'd. And so right. You're not getting that feedback.
Yeah.
But comedy shows, like that's part of what I love so much about the comedy community is that you would just see people out and about. And even if you didn't have like lengthy conversations, there was this real awareness of community and like, oh yeah, we're all buddies. We're all friends here. Yeah. And so anyway, but I am mad at you.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't know what I did or said, but
I'll never tell you. You have to figure it out.
I will go to my deathbed. Why did she not like? And I'm out. All right, Mary, now before we get any further, tell us about this gold. I don't want to miss the second of talking about before we get into our usual grabassery on this show. Tell me about Golden Arm and what's happening in this program.
Yes, the Golden Arm is it's a buddy comedy, a sports movie that takes place in the world of women's arm wrestling. And the buddy part of it is me and Betsy Sodaro.
Yes.
And who is a genius. And we play best friends who I play her best friend, who's a baker, who has this gift that she's unaware of, that where she has an incredibly strong arm. And it's a golden arm. And the story of the movie is my character being encouraged and supported by Betsy's character to embrace that golden arm and all the courage and confidence that comes with that.
Great. And did you film this during COVID or was it filmed pre-COVID and then it's getting finally released now after post-production
and
so on?
This was filmed pre-COVID. I can't imagine how we would have done it.
Okay.
In COVID times, Betsy and I spent a whole day in the cab of a big rig with no air conditioning, just me and Betsy, and then our director, Maureen Barucha, and director of photography, Chris Messina. They were like on the mattress behind us in the cab of this big rig. We were breathing each other's air.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
12 hours.
Do you think, Mary, and maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're getting at, do you think the four of you caused COVID?
That is what I'm saying.
Because I initially thought the whole thing was a hoax, and I will never get my vaccine.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Jimmy.
It's everything. Matt Gaetz tells me everything's phony, so I believe.
Oh, God, don't listen to him.
No, he gets it. That guy gets it.
He doesn't get anything.
Oh,
I'm
he gets
afraid.
It better than you. I'll get it, Mary.
Yeah.
And also like all the tournament scenes, like we're really, everybody's in it together. And I mean, people are shooting things. Like people have figured out a way to do production during COVID and that's very encouraging and exciting, but I don't know how we would have done it.
Obviously it's arm wrestling. So there's also probably a lot of touching.
Yeah, just the position of being like this with another human being is probably a bad idea.
Yes.
Not COVID friendly, no. But luckily we did shoot it before COVID hit, so we got it done.
And where is it? It's available on demand this Friday? Is that where I could see it? Can I also go to, if I want to risk and go to, now that it's safe, to go to a movie theater?
That's right. You absolutely can. You can go see it in a movie theater. How exciting is that? But you can also, yes, you can. It's available to rent digitally on iTunes and theaters and digital.
I've just been told theaters and digital.
No, I just.
You know, I've also been told theaters and digital.
I'm getting a message, guys.
I heard the same thing.
It seems
words
like,
out, guys. Theater and digital is a way to see this film. We talked about it last week. Mary, have you gone to the movie theater yet?
No.
When will you do that, do you think?
I mean, I'm doing that for this movie. I will be there in a movie theater this weekend, which I can't tell you how excited, scared, nervous I am to do that. I miss going to the movies so much.
I know.
And it really is going to be quite a shock to the system for the first movie to see back in a movie theater is one where my face will be that giant.
Is it a premiere setting or are you just going to go and see it?
It is a premiere setting, and then we're doing a Q&A at the North Hollywood Lamley.
Oh, I like
movie
that
theater.
I like that. I'm a fan of that complex.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yes.
I'm doing a Q&A at the. I'm doing 5 nights in a row at the local ArcLights this week, starting on Friday.
So. Oh, I have bad news, Jimmy.
What's up?
No,
I'm also getting just the same person that just told me it's theaters and digital. Just also told me, unfortunately, the ArcLight is closing.
Oh, and when he says "the," he means the collective.
The entire. Chain is
well. Who will ask and who will I answer if I'm not going to be at the ArcLights?
I don't think it's happening, Jimmy. I think it's probably canceled.
Well, I'm guessing this is booked a long time ago.
Then I say go to Mary Holland's Q&A. Then don't.
Oh, okay. Anybody
that was going to come to my ArcLight, I guess. Man, what a
Jimmy,
way to find
Jimmy,
this out.
What
am I acting on this? By the way,
what movie? What movie were you? What movie were you Q&A-ing about?
It was really just a Q&A about my life, but I thought that I would rent out the various arc lights and do them there because I just like the theater setting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
That'd be nice.
Have you all been to a movie theater?
No. Heavens no.
Oh, heavens no.
No. I'm waiting for West Side Story.
Yes.
Can we all agree the original West Side Story might be one of the best movies ever made, and maybe we don't need to see a second version of that? Is that something we could all agree on?
It's a tough one to take on. If you're gonna remake a movie, I don't know why you want to take a shot at one of the best ever.
I can think of a couple of reasons why some people might want to see that remade, but yes.
Sure.
I think it is a good movie.
There are, but if something wins Best Picture, I don't know if that's one that we need to redo.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could do like West Side Story did, which was a reimagining of... Romeo and Juliet, and reimagine West Side Story with perhaps a different title and some different people.
That's not what's happening.
I understand that.
I will see it, though. I have to see it.
I'll be there opening night. Are you kidding me?
So. Are you kidding me? From out.
I'll see that at 10 a.m. and I'll see you in the Heights at 1 p.m. That'll be my back-to-back. Yeah. Competing.
Wow, what a day.
Musicals. It's a big day, Mary. Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of musicals, Mary? Is that something you're into?
Yes, I love musicals. I love them.
What's your favorite of all time?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so hard to pick. The first play I ever saw was Cats.
Oh, boo. Oh,
okay.
No.
That was my first, too.
Yeah. I loved it. And I'll tell you this. I remember seeing, I must have been 7 or 8 or something, and it was a production in a regional theater in Northern Virginia. I thought it was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen. And at intermission, this was how I thought theater worked, live theater worked. I was like, at intermission, what they're going to do is they're going to scan the audience for eager children who clearly want to be actors. And then they will pull those children onto the stage and they will become a part of the show. And so I was like, this is it. This is my chance. At intermission, I just stared at the stage looking so excited and eager. And it's so strange how, as a child, you just make up rules of how the world works.
Right.
That wasn't what happened. I didn't get scouted. But Cats was the first musical I saw. I loved it. Phantom of the Opera. I loved Ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
Ragtime was a really, that was one of the first musicals I saw, too. Yeah, I love them. And I went to a theater school where they did a lot of musicals. I was never cast in them, but I got to be around it. And I just love emoting and singing and dancing. I love being around all that.
What theater school did you go to?
I went to my last 2 years of high school. I went to an arts boarding school in Michigan called Interlochen, which is primarily it's most renowned as like a music school, people for singing and instruments and all of that. But then they have a great theater program too. And they had a lot of a great budget to put on these amazing productions. So I went there, and then I went to Northern Illinois University for college, where they had a BFA acting program there. Oh, and we didn't do any musicals there. That was strictly Chekhov.
Oh, of course. I know a lot of folks from Northern.
Do you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I you can't throw a rock in this town without hitting somebody from Northern.
I tell you what.
Right?
That's right. I'm one of them.
I don't know what's
happening. I know it. And, so be careful. Don't open that door. What if you opened up that door and a rock came flying through?
Yeah, what are
people
doing?
It wouldn't be the first
time. What's happening in Northern Illinois that everyone's throwing rocks at them? That doesn't sound good.
Well, other than Mary, have you ever met anybody from Northern? The first thing you want to do is throw a rock at them.
The only person I want to throw a rock at right now is the person who won't stop calling it Northern.
What am I saying?
You're saying Northern as if we all know Northern. That's what it's called. I don't know that.
It's NIU.
Okay, look, don't throw your lingo around at me, dude. I'm just some regular guy off the street.
Listen, you know I'm Johnny Campus. You know that. You know that I'm talking about this collegiate lifestyle.
Yeah. You're being that guy.
You know that's my bag. Guy that couldn't get away from college fast enough. You know that's me, man. The frat life.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And I was all up in that scene.
That was you, right?
As you kid. That was me. No, I wasn't around any of that. But yes, and you had a great theater program. And so we did a lot of dramas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the important comedies are for weak people, and dramas are for the important folks that understand the theater. Mm-hmm. Speaking of understanding dramas, Mary, did you watch the? We talked about it before you joined her. Did you watch the Oscars last night? And
I sure did.
Yeah. What a. Huh? Your thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
Mary's actually in show business, unlike us, Jimmy. So she.
Oh, that's a good point.
She might be a little more tactful in her.
It was, I love watching the Oscars every year. And this was a new take on it, which was, exciting, honestly. Like I missed the sort of, the kind of bigness of the ceremony of the Kodak Theater of like all these people there, like it feels like such an event. But something that I thought was nice was how intimate this one felt, and
I
like
the intimacy. I
people
do
are
enjoy
just
that.
Sitting around tables and chatting, and it felt very, I felt very intimate, which I thought was.
I liked
cool.
that the camera was on Diane Warren when she didn't win for the 11th time, and she literally didn't move a muscle. Like she just. Like her whole body just decided, like, I'm just going to stare forward because I don't know what else to do, because what the F does it take for me to win one of these damn things? Like she stared, and luckily the camera captured all of that.
Luckily, thank goodness.
She's so great. Give Diane Warren a trophy and be done with it, for crying out loud.
Come on.
Not that her didn't deserve it. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that Diane Warren, what you got to do?
Also, the cameras were so in... It was like the cameras were really moving and weaving in and out of people in a way that they just logistically can't in like a big space like the Kodak. You get a straight on close up, or you get like a shot of the row or something. But in this, it's like, oh, they're in people's laps. They're on top of people. They're behind people. Like,
right.
It was every angle. Yeah.
They're all sneaky. The cameras were sneaky.
Yeah. I heard some of those people didn't know they were on television. I think that was unfair. So that's the downside.
You're right about that.
I'm going to say Diane Warren did not know she was on camera when she froze up and just stared forward with just nothing but bile building up in her throat. You got to be shitting me.
Hey, does anyone know what those little things on every table were? They looked like tweeters or...
Oh, we had a theory that they were maybe mini air purifiers.
Oh,
interesting.
That makes more sense, because we thought they were little lamps. That if they went to those, like that they would just illuminate if they went to that table, but it never lit anything. So
never lit anything.
Right. I like purifier.
Yeah, that
or
makes sense.
Or a speaker?
I thought it was a speaker so that they could hear what the person talking was saying, because there's no like loudspeaker, I don't think, in that theater. Maybe there was. Maybe they put stuff up for that. But
in Union Station. Yeah. It was in a train station.
That's right.
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Which I also thought was really, that was fun. I liked that it was at Union Station. I thought that was cool.
It's a beautiful venue.
Beautiful.
There's something about a train, Jimmy. I don't know what is.
Well, it's magic, Matt.
Okay, thank you.
pardon me. I like the intimacy because it reminds me of the doesn't remind me in the same way that I liked the intimacy of like the Democratic convention. Like when you pare it down, it's more. Although again, some of these speeches are a little long and maybe it was a little again coma inducing. But I do like that.
Oh boy,
it was pared down.
Wow,
pared down. Did like that.
Pared down, and I missed the live orchestra.
Yes.
I missed that.
Oh. Yeah.
I did miss that. Even though I know that music, you know, it plays people off when they're in the middle of their speeches, and that's always an uncomfortable moment. There's the sweeping, like that, the epicness of that live orchestra is so special.
I liked when I just liked that Questlove, who was like, you know, the music director, you know, someone would give a speech and then he would just be like 9-2-5, what a way to make a living. It's like, what the fuck is
he
happening?
Did a great job.
It was really was fun. So like I loved really his choices fun. Yeah, he's like, I think my age roughly or a little older, and so like all of his reference, like he played Let's Hear It for the Boy at one point. I was like, yes. Great.
He played the air horn after I can never say pronounce the name properly, from Black Messiah, that gentleman who after his speech,
Daniel Kaluuya,
and he did it. He did the air horn. And so don't think my 13-year-old son didn't do that after everybody's speech for the rest of the show. And it was funny every time.
No.
Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. All right, listen, speaking of my son, let's get to Oliver's trivia question. Yeah. Matt, do we have any sort of indication that that's coming?
We do. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. I'm just looking for it. Here we go. Which one do I want to play? How about this?
Should I have ramped up more?
You did surprise me.
Oliver's question is on its way. Oliver's question is here to stay. And Matt will probably get it right. That's not okay.
I just remembered why I don't play that one anymore, because I haven't gotten one right in 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So that means you have a chance, Mary.
Here's my chances. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here's your topic. Here's your topic. Right. Topic is feels like the first time. Feels like the first time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I feel like maybe we didn't. Did we say the betting part for Mary?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to make a bet, Garen, that I hope I'm eligible to make.
I finally wrote
it down. Do I write it down?
You can write it down, Mary. Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Do you want to know your numbers?
The categories feels like the first time.
You just start reading off what numbers I've used, Garen, please, quickly.
4, 6, 7, 9, 11, 14, 17, 18, 21, 23.
All right. Thank you for your help. Thank you. I'm in.
I finally wrote mine down, Jimmy. That's so now I have a key.
You have a little key. You know, I got to make. I have a key, but it's on. It's in a what I call a spreadsheet, and that seems to be problematic. I've got enough going on my screen. I'm trying to engage with a human being, and then I don't want to have to like start looking at numbers, opening up that file, because you know, clunky old man Pardo is not going to be able to do that without, you know, his computer crashing. All right, listen. All right, so everybody in with their bets? Mary, you in with your bet?
Yes, I'm in with my bet.
Mary, are you comfortable saying what part of town you live in? I'm fascinated by everything about your personal life.
Oh my gosh, I live in Frogtown.
I don't know what that means. I'm not familiar with that phrase.
It's a neighborhood. It's just south of Atwater Village, right on the banks of the LA River.
Oh.
Where there's a lot of stuff going on over here, a lot of great restaurants, and there's a wonderful bakery called Just What I Needed that's in Frogtown that I highly recommend checking out. They make the most incredible cinnamon rolls.
Good. All right. All right. Make a note of that. Just What I Needed. That's the name of it.
Is that needed with a K?
Yes, needed with a K.
Thank you.
Like dough.
And you play a baker in this movie.
I do.
Wow.
It's all
Did you go to this bakery and ask them for tips prior on how to use a rolling pin and so on?
I was not aware of this bakery before we shot the movie.
Ah.
But I did try baking a lot of things before we shot the movie. I did. Listen, I rolled out some dough. Was it good? No.
You did not. You were not happy with what you baked. What was your specialty? Of all the things you baked, what was your best?
Oh, I made an olive oil cake that was so good.
All right.
Well, have you ever had an olive oil cake?
I have not.
I know everybody hears olive oil. Everybody hears olive oil and they think savory. They think that's what you saute with. And that's true. But you can also use it to make an extremely moist and flavorful cake. And so if you ever come across a slice of olive oil cake, do yourself a favor and give it a try.
Now, Mary, speaking of baking and so on, you seem like somebody that would have made an appearance on this, but I don't remember you being on there, so maybe you're coming up, or maybe you're not going to be on there at all. But Nailed It. It seems like you would have been on Nailed It.
I would love to be on Nailed It. I would love to be on Nailed It. I haven't had the chance yet, but I'm hoping, you know, I can bribe Nicole Byer into getting me.
Yeah, I mean, with this whole baking thing that you're doing on a feature film, I think it'll be a slam dunk.
Yeah. Feels like a slam dunk.
And I feel
I'll bring it up to her.
Or whatever they say in wrestling when you win right away.
A flash. Oh. That's what they call a flash.
Oh. A flash is when you win immediately?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like Betsy Sidaro was on that once. Was she? Am I making that up? I'm picturing her being on there.
Oh, probably.
I'm kind of picturing that too, now that you've said
it.
Yeah. So it seems like you're very close. You're so close.
So close. I'm right there.
Oh, this is yours. It's right within your grasp. Right within your flower-covered grasp.
Right. Yes. And I'm going to grab it. I'm going to grab it with my dough hands, and it'll be great.
A little sticky dough. Just get in there. And don't undercook. Don't overcook. That's what I learned from that show.
That's right. Don't undercook. Don't overcook. That's just a rule. That's a good rule for cooking in general.
If you're right, don't under, don't over.
Don't under, don't over.
Yeah, are you a good cook, Mary? Is that something you're good at?
I've gotten better.
Okay.
But I am not naturally skilled at it. No.
All right.
No. My husband is. My husband's an amazing cook. And so
how long have you been married?
I have been married 6 months.
Wow. Half a year. You got married in the middle of the pandemic.
We got married right in our backyard. And our families were on Zoom.
Is that
right? Yes. It was very, it wasn't what we originally planned.
It was not.
We were supposed to get married in North Carolina with our families in person, but then pivoted. Mm-hmm. And it was so special. It was really, we got really creative with it. And it was, we got married on Halloween. And so we encouraged everybody, all our family members on the Zoom to come in costume, and boy, did they deliver. My sister was dressed as Morticia Adams. My dad was dressed as Kevin Costner's character from Yellowstone. And he gave a toast at the end of the ceremony. He gave a toast in character. And so it was like, I'm so sorry, Dwayne. That's my dad's name. I'm so sorry, Dwayne couldn't be here. He asked me to fill in for him, and so I just want to toast Mary and Matt and congratulate them on their marriage. It was very special.
Does he look like Kevin Costner at all?
Well, I mean, the costume is a coat and a cowboy hat,
yes,
and I'm assuming an accent of some sort.
Yeah, like that's a tough one to pull off, considering I think most people have never seen an episode of.
No one knew. Everyone thought that was just my dad. Like no one knew he was playing a character.
Nobody was like, "This is the guy from Yellowstone."
He made several references to the ranch, which, you know, I think would be the only indicator of it being from Yellowstone.
Growing up, your father's nickname was the Chameleon, was it not?
It was. Yes, right on the money. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I just got a news update from Apple News that the Oscars hit a all-time low in ratings, 50% lower than last year.
Wow.
Oh.
That's half. I don't know a lot about numbers, but that sounds like half.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, that was breaking news. Matt Belknap, that was breaking news.
Oh.
From what publication?
We're going to play this.
Wait, we have a thing. We have a thing that's going to happen.
News with Garrett is probably not really news.
That's from The Hollywood Reporter. That The Hollywood Reporter reports Oscars hit an all-time ratings low, shedding more than 50% of last year's viewers.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's
all right, so no more information than I just gave you. I don't know why I felt the need to repeat it.
That's just a natural byproduct of people not knowing any of those movies because they weren't allowed to go to the theater for a year.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
They couldn't have known ahead of time that the broadcast was also going to be horrible. So.
Mary doesn't agree with us. Mary is
I'm glad she seems to have enjoyed it.
Mary and Matt loved it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a drink of water.
Oh.
What the?
Oh, geez. Nobody saw that size of a beverage. No. Yeah. Nobody saw
it. I thought that was...
Well, actually, we don't know how tall Mary is, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be normal size.
This is... What,
are you drinking a blue Powerade?
In 28 ounces.
It's a lot of water.
That's a lot of water.
Wow.
A lot of water. That was a tea kettle at first. I thought you put a straw into a tea kettle.
I love to drink boiling water. It really helps.
It's good for the throat.
These bottles, I got this online, and it gives you little like time stamps and little encouragements.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
You know, keep hydrating.
But wait a minute. You're already down to like 5 o'clock and it's only 12:30.
I have to be honest. I just filled this up a few moments ago.
I see.
Like here.
Yeah. Okay. It probably takes 20 minutes to fill it.
What's Matt doing today, Mary? Is he in the other room? What's Matt up to?
Matt is in the other room. He's currently writing over Zoom with his writing partner.
Oh, terrific. Has Matt written anything we know?
Matt, I don't think so. He is in Golden Arm, though. He plays my ex-husband in Golden Arm.
Oh, that's great. Do I know Matt?
I don't know that you do.
All right. You're darn right, I don't. Maybe that's why you're mad at me, because I'm always rude to Matt.
I will not neither confirm nor deny.
Damn it! I'll get an answer on this eventually. All right, here we go. Here's your question, guys. Everybody's got their bet in. Again, the topic was feels like the first time. That's your topic. I wonder if it's about the band Foreigner. That'd be exciting if it's about the band Foreigner.
Seems
maybe
likely.
I have a chance.
Be exciting for you.
Well,
horrifying for the rest of us.
One of these right ever.
Is that true?
Hmm. Maybe one, maybe two.
It's like my son goes in and says to my wife, "Hey, what does Dad not know anything about?" And she says, "Everything, son." And then she writes.
But if he ever look, if he ever wrote a question about classic rock, then we would all rightfully take a make an objection over the fact that that's unfair. He knows that you know a lot about that.
That's true. I was listening, by the way. There's some movement behind me, and I don't know who it is. I don't know who's just snuck into this. Could be the dog from next door.
Oh.
Finally reached his goal.
All right, here we go. Here's your question. Mm-hmm. Although the movie Psycho is known for its creative ways of achieving certain effects, it's actually the first movie to show what? Although the movie Psycho is known for its creative ways of achieving certain effects, it's actually the first movie to show what?
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
Huh.
I don't have a clue. I'm just speaking so that the audio listener doesn't think that the signal's dropped out.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know this.
You know this one, Matt Belknap?
I could
Mary,
be wrong, but...
Don't give me your answer, Mary. How are you feeling, confident-wise?
Three.
out of three?
Three out of five higher. Would be pretty good, actually.
Three out of like 10.
Geez, I'm not even that high. I don't. But it's the first thing to show what? What does it show? Yeah. Oh, this is Hitchcock, right?
Mm-hmm. Alfred, yeah.
I see. Al Hitchcock.
Alfred.
Yeah. Oh, Alfred. Full name? Okay.
No, a known creep.
boy, do I wish I would have bet lower. I have an answer. It's not a good one. I have an answer, but it's not a good one. All right, let's go around the horn. Mary, would it excite you to know that I was at the Best Buy on Los Feliz on Friday? That's not too far from where you live, right? Not close at all. I thought that was close.
It wouldn't excite me.
Would it excite you to know that I was that much? I was that close to the neighborhood. I could have went to the bakery that you recommend.
Yeah.
You talk about the Best Buy in the complex with Costco.
Yes. And yes. Formerly, I actually don't know if it's there anymore, but Babies R Us?
Yes. Babies R Us is all closed up and it depressed
not
me.
Not there anymore. Yeah.
I was looking to buy a pram.
That's a word.
Isn't that a great word?
Look it up.
It's a wonderful word.
Thank you to the British for that.
I had to kill some time before an appointment and I said, you know what? I'll just go into that Best Buy and walk around like an idiot with my mask on and yell at people for not doing that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go around. Let's check in with everybody. Let's check in with Garen Cockrell. He's here at the Tri-Corners of the Valley, the Never Not Funny Weather Desk. Garen, now listen, we already got your views on the Oscars. How's your health doing?
Doing good. Doing great.
All right. Please share with Mary the ailment that you are riddled with.
I had recently been diagnosed with pericarditis.
Oh,
Mary, your thoughts.
need further clarification.
That is the inflammation of the sac, the pericardium, the sac around your heart.
Oh my gosh.
No idea how it happens. No idea where it came from. Just one day woke up in pain and went and got checked out.
And what do you do? What is your treatment?
Ibuprofen.
Really?
An anti-inflammatory. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's. I think it's pretty much gone. But
turmeric. Turmeric, I hear, is a natural anti-inflammatory.
I have been told that as well.
I have not heard that. That's interesting.
I've heard that, but I've seen no evidence that it works. I think it's one of those that they tell you that, and then you suck it down, and then nothing.
Well, you shouldn't just be sucking down turmeric.
I put it in everything as if I'm a vampire.
Put it in a tea or something.
I go direct to the source. I'm source only, Mary. You got to know that about me. I'm source only.
Oh, no.
Put it in your 128-ounce water jug.
Yeah. Just sprinkle a little bit of that.
That's a lot of diluting.
Yeah.
It's, well, Garrett, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better. You're on the inversion. Yeah. Did you do the inversion table yet today?
Not yet.
All right. Well, there's still time. Plenty of time.
Are you able to do the inversion table with an inflamed heart sac?
I don't know. That's why I've kind of been not messing with that for the past like week or so.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm to the point where I can open up my jump rope, get on that inversion table all at the same time.
Do you think
Garen, that was breaking? We received that breaking news yesterday. Garen bought a jump rope.
That's
That is the appropriate response, Mary.
I like the inhalation and then the pause. She considered it and decided, yes, I will. Yeah. I will give this guy a bone.
I am excited about this.
Do you own a jump rope, Mary? Is that something that you and Matt own? Did you get
that?
Oh, yeah.
We own a jump rope. Oh, yeah.
Did you guys do double dutch in the backyard for the wedding?
No, damn it. That would have been so cute.
Dwayne would have loved it. There's no question
Dwayne would have
loved
lost
it.
His...
Oh, hang on a second. Look who's here. My young Oliver, come in here. This is interesting.
Oliver?
Here, put this in your ear. Oliver, this is Mary Holland.
Hi, Oliver.
Hello. You recognize, of course, from, we just watched on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Great, get in here so people can see you.
Hi.
Guess what
Hi.
Else Mary's a part of that you actually have a connection with, Mary.
What?
Take a guess.
I don't
What would your connection be? What one thing have you done in show business?
The Star Wars game show?
Yes. Wait, hang on. Put that back in. Mary is, guess what Mary is on the Star Wars game show?
Could you be the voice of the robot?
Yes, I am.
That's very cool.
Yeah, Oliver, it's so nice to see you again.
Nice to see you as well.
Oh, we had so much fun. Did you have fun on the show?
Absolutely. It was really exciting.
On the Star Wars show?
Yeah, it was very fun.
We can't hear you.
Oh, all right. You got to speak right into it.
Oh, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was
okay.
Great.
All right, Scram.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Look, I don't want to micromanage. I don't want to micromanage what's happening at your house, Jimmy. But when you tell him to get in here, you could also scoot over slightly so that he has somewhere to go.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun for me, but that's okay.
Like you're dead center, and you refuse to move even a slight.
Whose name's on the show? Whose name? Yeah. Take a look around. Look,
totally fair.
Take a look around.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right?
I would
Everybody
never say that type
the
of thing
that
to
you're
me.
In.
Well, you guys don't do that. Oh, Matt, you could do it.
I
everybody
see,
else don't
I
look
see
around
some
your room
pictures
you will not
of
see
Jimmy.
My name. Although, what if Mary panned out and there's just posters of me all over that?
And candid photographs, telephoto lens photographs, newspaper clippings.
Hate them.
Yeah, no, Jimmy, we've never talked or met.
red yarn.
You know, here's what happens, Matt. Full disclosure. Here's what happens.
Yeah.
I go to move, and for some reason, the office chair, it decides at that moment to not roll, and I don't know why. And so then I go to roll, and then I kind of throw my back out because I'm stuck in a position.
Okay.
So it's
It's not worth throwing your back out.
I agree with everybody that I should move out of the way to let the child in. I recognize.
As long as you're going to bother.
If you're going to, you know, like I know he doesn't happen that often, so it's not like the biggest thing, but maybe think about bench seating. I don't know. Just
could go bench seating. Maybe get him a second microphone.
Like you're at a piano.
Sure, yeah.
Do you play the piano, Mary? Do you and Matt have a piano over there at the house?
We don't have a piano, but I do play the piano.
You do. Oh, Matt won't allow it.
Matt has a very strict no music rule in this
home. No music at all.
He's the father from Footloose.
He is. Won't let me dance either. Oh, but I love him so much, and we're very happy to go. Yes, I do play piano. I also play the flute.
Oh,
wow. Boy, do I love the flute. I love it.
Beautiful.
I love everything about the flute. Do you still play it?
I have it. I haven't played it recently, but I could, if I picked it up, I'd be able to remember scales. I remember notes. I remember finger positions. I think I would be able to get back into it fairly quickly.
Great.
Do you read sheet music? Can you sight read?
I can sight read, but it very slowly, very slowly. But I could, like, I would have to like count out the, I'd be like, okay, well that's G.
Okay.
Yep. D, yeah. You know, I, yep. It would take
I'm
me
with
a
you
while.
There.
It would take me a while.
What's the thing? All good boys, something, something. How do you,
every good boy does fine is one of them.
Yeah. There you go. And then every good face boy does fine. Or something.
Oh, face. Yes.
Is that
face.
The other one?
Yes. Yes.
The gaps face. In between. Yeah.
And then good boys do fine always, I believe, is the bass clef.
Now you lost.
Which
me.
Is not true.
Yeah, that they should update that for the 21st
they
century.
It.
Yeah.
And that's a fair point.
You're girls? Looking for woke music? Is that what you guys are looking for?
I'm just looking for accurate statements. Accurate, you know what I mean.
How long have you been with this here. Matt total? I know you've only been married the half a year. How long have you that's guys right. been together?
10 years.
10 years.
Wow.
10 years.
Nice.
Almost. Yeah, it'll be 10 years. Next year, so 9 years.
Wow. So and what about in 2 years, Mary? What will that be?
2 years. That'll yeah. be 11 years.
I see. Uh-huh. And one. What about yeah. last year? How long were you guys together last year?
Last year? 8 years.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, this is starting to make more sense now. Well, he sounds like a great guy, this man.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's very
I don't doubt
funny.
It. Did you meet him in the comedy world?
I did. We met in doing improv. We were in the improv scene at UCB together, and we're friends for many years. And then it became romantic.
This is exciting. Is it? Exciting. There's no doubt. I probably met this guy too, and it's.
I'm sure you've probably crossed paths with
all
him
my UCB and, stuff.
That's right.
That's right. Is that going to stay open? Is Franklin going to stay open?
I sure hope so. Who knows? I mean, I feel like the state of comedy theaters in Los Angeles in general, I just have no idea about, but I'm hopeful that it will all reopen again.
Yeah, me too. Boy, it would be, I mean, for their sake, for their business, and B,
yes.
so that we all have a place to go back to when yes. we're allowed to go back to places.
Mm-hmm. That's what I hope too.
Oh, boy. But if I see that Matt, I swear to God.
What are you going to do?
Well, wait, nothing. Probably should have said that quietly to myself as opposed to into the microphone.
Well, you did kind of say it under your breath. But
I did, but I did
microphone.
Say it into the sound system. That was my yeah. mistake. Hey, listen, let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back and get everybody's answers. We'll do that right after this.
Okay.
Hey guys, Matt here with some dates for you. Mary Holland is on Twitter at Mary Holland Days. That's just her name with A-I-S-E at the end. She's also in the new movie Golden Arm. She's the star of the new movie Golden Arm, which is very exciting. It's in theaters and on demand digitally this Friday. Please check it out. It sounds hilarious. A lot of fun people in it that we love. A lot of people we know from UCB, like Mary and Betsy Sodaro. And yeah, it just sounds very funny and awesome. It's about arm wrestling. So go see it. You're going to love it. And check out Jimmy Pardo. He's the judge, as you know, on Pop Cultured. Their next episode is May 8th, or their next show, I guess. It's an episode, too. May 8th, and go to rushtix.com for tickets to Pop Cultured. And May 21st is his next Flappers date, flapperscomedy.com, if you want to join from anywhere in the world and be in the Zoom room while Jimmy does stand-up comedy virtually for you. Finally, Misfit Toys. The spotlight this week goes to Todd Glass. The Todd Glass Show is his podcast on Misfit Toys. You know Todd. You love Todd. If you don't know Todd, if you don't appreciate the genius of Todd Glass, please go to YouTube and look up Todd Glass Nature Box. That will give you the clip of when we were trying to do a Nature Box commercial in studio here, and Todd was our guest, and hilarity ensued. I'll just leave it at that. So check out Todd Glass wherever you can find him, but specifically wherever you get podcasts, and listen to the Todd Glass Show, part of the Misfit Toys Comedy Collective. Enjoy.
Hey, sometimes you find yourself the wallet's missing a couple of bucks. Ooh, did somebody steal it or what's going on over there? It doesn't matter how you're missing the bucks. Money might be a little tight. That's where Earnin comes in, Matt.
Yeah, Earnin.
Earnin's there if you got a last minute gift for a loved one, an unexpected trip to the vet. I've seen a lot of that on social media, by the way. People saying, oh, I had to spend the night at the pet vet.
Yeah.
People like using the phrase pet vet.
Even though vet covers pet. I mean, what are you at the wild animal vet?
No, you could be visiting a soldier.
Oh, okay.
I think they like the sound of pet vet. It does sound fun.
It is fun to say. I get it.
But nobody's pointing out that they're at the pet vet for fun. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Why are they being capricious or silly with their serious issue?
You know, capricious say. now, listen, here's the important thing. Earnin is there because the point is you're not at the pet vet at 3 a.m. going, oh, good. I get to spend X amount of money that I don't have. That's where Earnin jumps in.
Yes.
Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 a day, up to $750 per pay period.
Yeah.
So it gives you a little goose if you need it.
Yeah. But you're making the money by going to your job and working every day. They're just saying, hey, we can get you that money a little bit sooner than the paycheck arrives.
That's exactly right. Now, over 3.5 million people are already saying things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. That's what they're saying.
They say it like that?
Yeah.
I would think there'd be a little more excitement in their voice.
These are people that, when they're giving a testimonial, they're caught off guard. They're
not comfortable in front of a microphone. These are not professional broadcasters.
Like we are. Yeah,
they sound stilted, but that's real. That's genuine.
Thank you. Matt, again, it gives them peace of mind. hey, download Earnin today. That is spelled E-A-R-N-I-N. And that's in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Never Not Funny under podcast, please. When you sign up, it'll help the show. Let's them know who sent you there, who directed you there. Once again, put in Never Not Funny under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Earnin.
It's your money. Get it now.
Guys, Shopify is something that's very, very dear and important to me, and you know that. You know that. And Matt, you're laughing because you know that I don't stop talking about Shopify off the air.
It's really, it's weird. It's like your new obsession. Like, you used to talk about, you know, Journey and Kiss all the time. Now it's just Shopify this, Shopify that.
I know, and all I can do is apologize, but I'll tell you why. It's because whether you're selling scented soaps or offering outdoor outfits, the SSS or the OOO, Shopify helps you sell everywhere from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, which I learned stands for point of sale, not the other thing that I've been saying.
Right. That's when you go on and on about Shopify, you sounded a little foolish because you were raving about, and then people would say, well, why is he talking about POS? Like, what?
That's yeah.
They didn't know either, and you didn't know how to tell them.
Well, no, because I was on the wrong side of history on that as well.
Yeah.
But point of sale is what POS stands for when we're talking Shopify.
I'm excited because we've set up our own Shopify account to handle our perks. You know, we were sending out T-shirts and yearbooks to our subscribers, and it's so easy. It's great. I get to, you know, assign roles to different people. Like our web guy Jeff he's an admin in there now, and it was so easy to set him up. And then I set up our T-shirt guy. He's got an account in there. He can log in. He can do what he needs to do to get our shipping done. It's awesome.
I've been kept out of the loop on that because you're kind.
Yeah. Well, as much as you rave about it, you don't want to know.
I don't want to know how the sausage is made. I just want to see the result.
Right.
That's what I want. And also, I don't know if illegally I can get away with this, but it's so easy to Shopify.
Well, because you were off key, I think we're legally safe.
I think I was on key for the what I was doing.
We all knew what it was.
You know, I'm not doing karaoke to a backing track. It was on whatever key I was at. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/Pardo. That's all lowercase. Shopify.com/Pardo. Now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/Pardo. Shopify!
A better way to sell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Episode 2811. Mary Holland is here. Mary's in the new movie comes out this weekend called Golden Arm, along with Betsy Sidaro, who's wonderful. And actually, this is the whole cast is great, isn't it, Mary? You got
the whole cast is amazing. Yeah.
Throw some other names at us without being put on the spot. Who else is in this thing?
Dot Marie Jones, Kate Flannery, Eugene Cordero, Aparna Ninchirla. I mean, Ron Funches, Olivia Stambulia, Don Luby. I mean, you got you got Betsy Sidaro. You got
I heard Matt's in this thing.
Matt Newell. My husband is in this movie. So many great people.
Well, you listed like 30 there.
Yeah,
I think you're covered.
Okay,
think,
yeah, you're I'm looking. I'm looking. I have the poster right here. So I'm Ahmed Barucha, of course. Ahmed Barucha, who is the brother Maureen Barucha, who is the director, and Ahmed is a very funny stand-up.
Oh,
so check him out if you're not familiar with his comedy.
All right, will do. That's Mary Holland. The name of the movie is Golden Arm, so keep an eye out for that. Or any of your streaming comedies that are on right now, watch those because I'll bet you $1 million she'll pop up in it.
Yeah, Jimmy, when you were saying that she's on every sitcom, I think the thing is she's on every good sitcom. So, like, if you like good shows, like she was on The Good Place, you were on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, to me, it's like that's why I feel like I see you all the time is because you're on the shows that I like personally. So,
thanks.
Yeah, it's right. Kind of
but
cool.
She's also on Zach and Cody. All right. I don't know if that's true. I made that up.
I have no memory of that. Oh, my God.
Whoa. But let's all agree. Funny.
The Sweet Life?
It's not for us. It's for children. Gary.
For children.
Let me repeat the question. Again, this is Psycho related. Feels like the first time is the topic. Although the movie Psycho is known for its creative ways of achieving certain effects, it's actually the first movie to show what? Garen, you are a gentleman who loves the horror genre.
Yes, I am.
Do you have an answer?
I'm going to go with it's the first time they've shown a woman in the shower.
Oh, woman in the shower. Interesting. Well, we'll find out if that's the answer. By everybody else just kind of staring at their screen, I'm going to say nobody thinks that's a good answer.
I mean, what's weird is it does feel like maybe it could be the first for more than one thing now that you say that. Because I thought I remembered a different piece of trivia about this, but yeah, I mean, it could also be like, when was there another movie with a woman in a shower before that? Probably not.
I don't know. There could also be the first time that the first that ever showed blood going down a faucet. I mean, a drain.
Right.
Once again, my son will get a stern talking to after the program for having such a vague question and making me look the fool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I could also be wrong.
That's true, but like what? Yeah, it's crazy. I'm gonna look that up as soon as we're done with this. I'm gonna find out if there was another shower scene before.
I'm guessing that he, he usually does a little bit of research to make sure that it's right. Not.
Yeah. He's good at this. He's good at writing crimes.
Yeah. That's a good question.
We'll see. He did not win that Jedi Temple Challenge. They got to the finals, but did not win. So how good is he really? You know what I mean?
That was heartbreaking.
I can't weigh in on that.
He came home. I was not there. I was not allowed because you guys shot during COVID. And then he came home and I said, how did he do? And he said, well, we made it to the finals, but we didn't win. I said, I'll be in my office. And
close that door.
I talked to winners, Mary. I talked to winners.
God.
What if God? You know, imagine parents are like that. How fucking would that be? You went there to win, didn't you, son? What the fuck, Dad? I got a Jedi helmet out of it.
Yeah, but I don't see a lightsaber. You said that they give a lightsaber to winners.
Right. Lightsabers are for the winner. He did get a video game, though, Mary. He got a crazy, actually arcade-sized video game that's out there.
I didn't get that video game.
Do you want this one? I'm happy to bring this one over to you. It's taking up a lot of space, and boy, he's going to play it every... I'm going to play it every day, Dad. I'm going to play it every day.
There is no arcade game in the world that you would want to play every day for the rest of your life.
Well, I know one for certain. I know that.
As I have, there's a slight leak in our garage. Like when it rains, the garage door, because of earthquakes and stuff, the garage door is not flat. Mm-hmm. So like right, the garage, like there's just a little area where water can drain in. So I now have to put towels in front of this arcade game because that's the one area that gets a little bit of water.
Oh.
So that could all be solved, Mary. We'll bring it over right there over the rug down. We'll find
it. No, I'm all right.
No, well, Matt's going to love it.
I'm okay.
Matt's going to love it.
Actually, he would.
Yeah, you know, blow some steam in between writing. It's perfect. I'll bring it over. You guys will love it.
Yes.
No, I hear it. I, you know what? I hear you, but I don't hear you. I'll bring it. I'm happy to do it. Let me check in with the Pez dispenser. There he is in Palms, California. That's Oakberg. Elliot, time does not allow us to get for you to get into one of your long-winded stories.
And I certainly have lots of new and exciting, interesting things to talk about.
Mary, Elliot is paranoid by he is paralyzed by fear. He does not leave his apartment during this pandemic. So
okay.
Barely leave. I sometimes leave, but barely. Yeah, I didn't leave last December. Last December, I stayed in because I was definitely afeared during that period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I go to my PO box.
The lowest they've been here in California. The lowest they've been since this thing started.
Yep.
Now's the time. Go for a walk, Elliot. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Stretch your legs.
Go lick a stranger.
Go lick a stranger. Come
just like
on.
I did before COVID.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID behavior. Sure. Elliot, do you have a guess on this question, this psycho question that my son has written?
I do. I know that Alfred Hitchcock was known for this. I don't know if this was the first film he did it in. I believe it's called a push zoom. It's an effect that you do with camera where you zoom out while you roll in, and it looks kind of weird and spooky. Yeah. I don't even know that it's in Psycho, but that's my guess based on that information.
You're going to go push zoom.
Push zoom.
Push zoom.
I didn't know that was a Hitchcock thing, believe it or not. I thought that was a Spielberg thing.
Mm-mm. No, Hitchcock definitely did it before him.
Push zoom sounds like what I do when I'm rescheduling my day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the type of thing you can see with wild horses when the UCB reopens.
That high caliber.
I actually enjoyed it. I don't know why the fuck I'm shitting on it. Made me laugh.
Oh, great.
Now, listen, Matt Belknap, give us your answer here.
I half remember this trivia, so I'm going to try to like thread the needle on the way I answer this and see if I'm right. I think it was the first time in a film that you saw an unmarried couple in bed together.
Ooh, that sounds familiar.
Oh,
interesting.
Because at the beginning of the movie, you see Janet Leigh and her, her lover. They're at a motel or something.
Unwed.
Yes.
Interesting, though.
Very not on my watch, Mary.
But that's also like it could have been the first time you saw a man and a woman in bed together too, like just married or unmarried, because there was a time when you didn't see that at all.
Right.
I didn't say something like that because like before the 1930s all sorts of stuff was happening and then everybody got uptight.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, there was no code. There was no, you know, they didn't have the MPAA or anything. And so, like, people were kind of wild. And then McCarthy was like, this is terrible. Was it McCarthy? I don't know. Somebody in power was like, movies are out of control. And the industry had to clamp it down.
That's the ventriloquist, right?
Yeah, that's right. Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie McCarthy?
Yeah. Right, that ventriloquist who...
It's out of control. Everything's out of control.
He wielded a lot of power.
Scary, right?
You wouldn't think you would you, Mary?
No.
Do you have a guess on this, Mary? Do you have a guess on the psycho question?
I have a guess.
What is it?
And I also guessed a woman in a shower.
Did you really?
I did.
All right. Well, my crap guest, a guess and guest, is all my answers are guests in my mind. I panicked and could not think of anything, so I said jumping cat. I just said jumping cat. The first time they ever had that jumping cat, you know, for that cheap scare.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Is that in that movie? I can't picture that.
I don't even know if it's in the movie.
I'm just glad I wrote something down. I couldn't think of a single thing.
If you're right, I will be furious.
Again? You're already mad at me.
That is a good guess, though. That's a good answer.
I'm still. I keep thinking of other things.
That's a good answer.
I disagree with Garen, but I do want to say
I'm in fact both of you.
I'm going to agree with Garen because I think, although the cat part maybe not, but the false jump scare.
The jump scare.
Oh, I should have said cheap scare. I could have just went more generic. Cheap scare.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I'm thinking of other things that could have been, like, maybe it was the first time a man was in a woman's dress. That happens.
That is literally what I was about to say, that my backup answer was a man in drag, essentially, but I couldn't remember when Some Like It Hot came out.
But you know what? To me, the question is written, although the movie Psycho is known for its creative ways of achieving certain effects.
Yeah.
So a woman, a guy in a dress is not really an effect.
Yeah, right. That's why I went with my thing.
Mm. Yeah, push zoom. Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's
push zoom is what
too.
I do when I'm rearranging my day. Anybody got it?
You've done it again, Mr. Pardo.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys. Thanks, everybody.
What
the hell is happening? What is happening?
Didn't you hear what he said? Oh, sorry, it was so funny.
I heard what he said. I said that exact same thing a few minutes ago.
Oh, what? No. You know what? Must have been a Zoom link or something. We didn't hear it.
I think your mic cut out. Yeah. That's too bad.
Gaslighting.
The fun we have with gaslighting.
All right. Here's the answer. Here's your answer. The answer is, as I scroll up, a toilet flush.
Oh,
Toilet flush.
It is also the first movie where the sound of a toilet flush is heard. So we can all thank Alfred Hitchcock for paving the way for such classic scenes like the one in Dumb and Dumber where they poop so hard they break the toilet. Such a legend. That's Oliver and his editorialization.
Wow.
Fact. So,
Oliver. Well done.
Oh, boy.
You know what? That's a good answer.
Yeah.
What everybody bet? Garen.
17.
17 for Garen. Elliot.
6.
6. Matt.
I bet 18.
18. Mary.
24.
Oh, boy.
Sutherland. You have the option to go all the way to 25. It doesn't do it. Love it. I went with 8. And that means Elliot wins. Elliot gets the $5.
Wow. On the bet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I heard feels like the first time and I thought, there is no way I'm going to know the answer to this question.
Why? You don't know first things? What? Good sentence.
I figured it was like a foreigner question, like you joked.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. He's not going to do that. He's never going to do that. My son doesn't care about that stuff. It's always going to be film or TV related. Always.
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 It's going to be that. Oh, do I take acting classes? No. All right. Mary, the name of the movie is Golden Arm.
That's right.
It's released in theaters and digitally this Friday, the 30th?
30th.
The 30th.
The 30th. That's right.
The 6-month anniversary of your wedding. You guys are going to go to the premiere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Crazy.
Is like Matt going to join you with this on this? Or do you have to go alone because of protocol?
I assume he's joining me. We're planning on him joining me. So
he's in the movie, so of course he's going.
He's in the movie.
Oh, that's a good point.
He's got to go.
All right, it's not a plus one. He belongs there.
He is going to be there. Right. Yes, very excited. Check it out. It's a fun movie. Laughs, arm wrestlings, a big rig. What else do you want?
Nothing. In fact, I guarantee this. We will watch this Friday night. I guarantee we will.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. We're always looking for something fun and funny to watch. And you're terrific. Betsy's terrific. I assume this Matt pulls his weight.
He sure does.
So
he sure does.
We're going to watch. There's no question we're going to watch it Friday night.
Oh,
no question in my mind.
Thank you.
All right. Mary, is there anything else you want to talk about before we say goodbye to you?
This has been so fun. Thank you for having me, and thank you all for checking out the movie. I am so excited.
Thank you, and you gave us something to talk about over dinner tonight about you being part of the Jedi Temple Challenge.
Yes.
So I could hear about that as opposed to whatever new game he's painting the figurines of. This is a win.
This is a win. It's a win.
The movie is called Golden Armor. Comes out this weekend. Check it out, theaters digitally. Mary Holland, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Bye.
Don't run away, though. We'll say goodbye to you off the air like human beings.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for supporting. Thanks for listening to Never Not Funny. Thank you for supporting it at whatever level you do. Wear your mask. Get your vaccine. Quit effing around. Let's end this thing. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, there he is, the Never Not Funny Weather, that's Garen Cockrell. In Palms, California, that's the Pez Dispenser, Elliot Hochberg. Holding down the fort at Never Not Funny headquarters in Sherman Oaks, California, that's Matt Belknap. Our new friend, I'm going to say it, mad at me or not, I'm going to say it, our new friend Mary Holland coming to us from Frogtown. I am Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone Not Forgotten.
Love Never Not Funny? For two bonus episodes a week and video of every episode, plus bonus perks, sign up for a platinum subscription at nevernotfunny.com. Never Not Funny is executive produced by Jimmy Pardo and Matt Belknap. Video production by Elliot Hochberg. Production assistance by Garen Cockrell. Music by Daver and Watch It Burn. Copyright 2021 Never Not Funny, LLC.